वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्विताश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता एज इट इज की जय Srila Prabhupada, this is the Bhagavad Gita as it is, by the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We're very fortunate to have this Bhagavad Gita, Yatharup Bhagavad Gita, as opposed to Anyatharup Bhagavad Gita. I will not be able to concentrate, I'm sorry to say, because the children are making too much noise. So, unless we do something about that, I just won't be able to think straight. Sorry. But we've been discussing in previous nights the topic of the three material modes, the three gunas of material nature. Sattva-guna, Rajoguna, Tamoguna. And how they interact, what their influences are, how it's very interesting subject matter, and it spans through at least, actually it permeates the Bhagavad Gita, but particularly chapter 14 focuses on these three modes, and chapter 17 contains very important information with regard to our faith and how these three modes of material nature color our faith in various ways. And since faith is so crucial to spiritual life, we could understand that this is a very, very important subject matter. Now, in chapter 18 yesterday, we began to discuss how Krishna again raises this topic of three modes of material nature with respect to various other aspects of our existence. How we think, what our consciousness is, what kind of intelligence we have. Now today we're talking about what kind of actions we perform, but what kind of actors we are. We are acting, we are the doers, the kartas. So what kind of karta do we become under the influence of which mode of material nature is a very fascinating topic, and we'll discuss it in some great depth. We may not be able to get beyond the three verses in chapter 18 that deal with this topic. Those three verses are texts 26, 27, and 28. But the commentary on these verses is so rich and so expansive that we may take up an hour or so just to discuss that. Okay. Young lady, you have to be quiet, please. Yes, you. Please. Shanti Dahin. Okay. Text 26. Mukta sangona hamvadi dhrityutsaha samanditaha siddhya siddhyor nirvikaraha karta sattvika uchyate. That means one who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, without great determination, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. Now, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse, very short purport. He writes, a person in Krishna consciousness is always transcendental to the material modes of nature. He has no expectations for the result of the work entrusted to him, because he is above false ego and pride. Still, he is always enthusiastic until the completion of such work. He does not worry about the distress undertaken. He is always enthusiastic. He does not care for success or failure. He is equal in both distress and happiness. Such a worker is situated in the mode of goodness. Okay, so in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is talking about a fully Krishna conscious worker, a karta who is completely actually above the material modes of nature. But the work itself, that work, or the mode of action, the mode of work, the way the person functions, I should say, how he becomes a karta, that Krishna says here is in the mode of goodness when it has these, how many characteristics? Four or five, depending on how you want to break them up. The first one is mukta sangha. Have we heard this before? There's a lot of overlap in these chapters. Chapter 14, chapter 17, chapter 18. Krishna repeats a lot of the same ideas many times and in different ways. We heard of this idea of mukta sangha back when we were discussing the awareness in the three modes, jnana, the buddhi in the three modes, and now again we're getting it with regards to being a particular kind of actor within the three modes. So what does mukta sangha mean? According to Baladeva Vidyabhushana, it means that he is without any egotism and he's also without any desire, material desire. So, he's not associated with the sense that he's the doer, as we discussed yesterday. Kartaham iti manyate, Krishna says the person who is bewildered by the modes assumes himself to be the doer of activities that are instead actually impelled by those modes of material nature. They're very cute, but they're very distracting also. Okay, so mukta sangha means he doesn't have any sense that he's the agent of the action. Agent is a better word than doer, because we're not actually affecting anything, we're being affected by it. we're not actually impelling action to happen, we're being compelled to act. So we're agents in this process, we're not really doers. So, but even that sense of agency, he's freed from that. Therefore, anahamvadi. What does ahamvadi mean? It's pretty easy to guess. We know the word mayavadi means somebody who says that everything is maya. So ahamvadi means somebody who's always talking about himself. In other words, he doesn't praise himself. Here, Baladeva Vidyabhushana clauses the term as garvokti shunya. Garva Ukti Shunya. He doesn't have any such conceited statements. Did we speak to these young ladies before? There are so many of them, it's hard to keep track. Okay. Really, their parents have to be here. Mukta Sangha, without egotism or material desire, and Anahamvadi, without any sense of bragging about what one is doing. This is the idea, actually. Then the next one, or the next two, depending on how you want to look at it, they're taken as a pair. Dhriti utsahya utsaha samanvitaha. A person should be imbued with these two qualifications. One of them is dhriti, and the other one is utsaha. So dhriti means what? How does Prabhupada translate dhriti here? Determination. And utsaha means with great enthusiasm. Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he fine-tunes this, he refines this definition a little bit. He says, dhriti actually means adabdha karma purti paryanta varjaniya dukha sahishkanta. That means that as long as we have to undergo reactions from karmas that we have performed in the past, that's called arabdha karma or prarabdha karma. Whatever's on the docket for experiencing in this life, good or bad, as long as there's something left in that account, we have to simply tolerate it. If it's, particularly if it's dukkha, if it's suffering, we all know that we have to tolerate suffering. But do you know that we also have to tolerate happiness? You actually do have to tolerate happiness also. Why? Because you cannot become giddy and foolish and puffed up when everything is going great in this world. That means you have to be aware. You have to have sattvic jnana, as we discussed it last night. And you have to be very careful not to become abhibhuya, overwhelmed by this experience of happiness even. What does Krishna says earlier? He said, vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mamu pashuta. Without attachment, without fear, without anger, in happiness or in distress. This is an idea we'll hear again and again in these, just in these three verses, we'll hear it again and again in different ways. So, we all have to undergo some karma. It's very nicely described by, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anybody know this verse? About suffering, Prahlad Maharaj? What am I thinking of? He says, Tateno kamvam susamikshamano punjana eva atmakritam vipakam. Atmakritam vipakam means I myself cooked this meal, therefore I have to eat it. That's exactly what it means. Punjana eva atmakritam vipakam. I have to eat this thing because I cooked it. And everybody can say that about his karma. Whatever karma we have coming in this life, we did something in the past. You may get plenty of money, you may get plenty of followers, you may get plenty of, everything is going your way, fine. But it's not always going to be that way. And on the other hand, if anybody's ever had experience with shani days, then you know that everything seems to go wrong, no matter what you do. Everything just goes wrong. Nothing, you work hard for no result, and miseries keep coming out of nowhere, and there seems to be nothing you can do about it, because there is nothing you can do about it. Punjana evatma kritam vipakam. You have to simply tolerate it. Therefore, triti. Determination means you're determined to just keep ahead with the standard program in sattva-guna, following the shastric injunctions, and just tolerate and let the karma pass until it's gone out. Paryanta varjaniya dukkha sahishnuta. Sahishnu. Sahishnu means to tolerate. Okay. So dhriti and utsaha, they actually go together. Because if you have dhriti, then you should be able to also retain utsaha, enthusiasm. How does Srila Prabhupada define enthusiasm here? A great enthusiasm, utsaha. And Baladeva Bhushan similarly, he says, tad anushtanodhyata chittata tabhyam samanvitaha. Tabhyam means these two are a pair. Samanvita. The person who is imbued with dhriti, he's also imbued with utsaha. But utsaha itself means anushtanodhyata chittata. Your mind is constantly ready, prepared, and eager to fulfill your niyatam karma. Your anushtan. What does anushtan mean? Anybody know this word? Fancy Sanskrit word. Anushtan. Yeah, you have to perform your Hindi mein usko riti rivaj bolte hain, no? Or shishtachara, we call it also. Standard behavior that is enjoined in Shastra that is expected of an apta or of a shishta. Shishta means a person who's trained up, a person who's nicely educated and well-behaved. He's a gentleman, in other words. He has undergone the process that we spoke about last night, samskara. Janmana jayate shudra. By default, everybody is born as a shudra. Khaskar in Kali Yuga. Kalau shudra sambhava. But samskara tu bhavet vija. Through samskara, you can become a twice-born person. That's a bona fide human being. Among bona fide human beings who have become refined by following anushtan or shishtachara or samskara, the person who is well-versed in Vedic knowledge because of studying the Vedas, that person can be called a vipra. Veda-partha bhaved vipra. Or brahma janati iti brahmana. When you actually realize what are the Vedas teaching you about spiritual reality, then you can be called a Brahmin. Properly speaking, that is a real Brahmin. How many of us are real Brahmins like that? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. Nowadays, the so-called Brahmins, they don't even do Trisanjivandanam. They go to the office, they drink coffee, they do work. Actually, I've seen this. These Iyengars and the other Bhattacharjas and so-called Brahmins. They're the ones, it seems, they're most enthusiastic when they get to America by the grace of Srila Guru Balaji, that they want to break every rule. They want to break every rule, it seems. Anybody, there must be some Telugu people here. You know about Srila Guru Balaji. Let's go visa Balaji all day. Because he's giving out visas like mad to all the Telugu people. That therefore I say IT means international Telugus. Because they've all gone to Chilakuru. I first went there in 2004. Somebody brought me there just as a novelty to show me what's happening. In those days, it was out in the middle of nowhere past Golconda, near Hyderabad. Little tiny building, a shack really. It doesn't look like a temple actually. And you know, you can't even imagine what's happening in there until you get in, and then you see there were like scores of people all doing Anga Pradakshina around the deity, and all praying fervently for what? H1. So, okay, interesting experience. Next. So then 10 years later, I happened to be passing through the same neighborhood, and somebody said, let's go see Visa Balaji. Okay. So we went back to see him. Lo and behold, this time, there was a whole town had sprung up around the temple. 10 years later, this is in 2014, there was a square mile wide parking lot full of buses from all over every state in South India. There were hundreds of people jamming the streets, trying to get into the temple, and all of them were focusing on the green card or the visa. And somehow or other, he's got this lila that he's giving these things out. They're thinking they're going to escape Dharma by coming to America where they can break every rule. But what they don't know is that when they get to America, somebody approaches them in the public place and says, Bhagavad Gita, yatharup, anyatharup nahi. So, welcome to ISKCON. Remember me, I gave you your visa. Now it's time to study something about your culture and try to become a real human being. This is what you should have been doing all along, but better late than never. Actually, I've lost count of the number of NRIs who have told me that had we stayed in India, we never would have become Krishna conscious. Hey, no. Because, anyways, it's Kali Yuga. It's not easy for anyone. Try taking birth on this side. It's also not so easy. Therefore, I ask a question. I always pick on the people from Hyderabad because I spend so much time there. Anyone from Hyderabad here, you know, every 10 feet, what do you find? Sneha Fresh Chicken. Or if not that, you will find Balaji Wine Stores or Venkatesh Wine Store. You know, every 10 feet it seems. They're very pious but very fallen at the same time. So these people are so fascinated that I know, because when we go out for preaching programs, we come back late at night. And that's when they come out. They only come out at night. Who are they called? Nishacharas. Night rovers. We have night rovers here in America also. I don't know if we have them in Sammamish, but in urban centers in America, we have Nishacharas also. But they drive in their cars with mega bass speakers, and you hear them. When you're trying to sleep at night, these kinds of sounds, they come into your, they flood your 10 organic senses, and you have no choice about it. You see? Therefore, this is Kali Yuga. It's not easy. Vastav mein, the Shruti Mantra tells us, Bhadram karne bhishraniyama deva, ityadi. You should hear only auspicious things. You should see only auspicious things. This is paramparagat Bharatiya Sanskriti. But now there is a class on both sides that is trying very hard to erase every last vestige of this. I spoke about it last night. From Vrindavan to Delhi, Palan Airport, what do they call it? I guess it's, anyway, they have a new name for it. Indira Gandhi Antarashtriya or something. So, you find whole subdivisions, and they don't even use Indian names anymore because they're so fascinated with anything Videshi. They don't even use Indian names. Flower Park, Central Valley, you know. There's another, I don't even know what they call it. There's a motor raceway just south of Noida as well. They're trying hard to do anything but remember Vishnu. But anyway, that's another topic. Don't want to get too far afield here. But so what is worse? If a person is walking into the wine shop with the anticipation of this intoxication, is he worse, or is the person coming out in Bangalore? Anybody from Bangalore, you know, there are what they call them taverns everywhere. The people go there and drink. So who's worse, the person trying to get in, or the person trying to get out? When the person comes out, you can't talk to him, he's finished. Right? And when the person is going in, you also can't talk to him because you won't hear anything. So who's worse? Therefore, I say, it makes no difference anymore. The great leveler, Maya, you see. Whether you take birth here, it's like the person coming out of the tavern. When you leave India to come here, it's like the person trying to get into the tavern, but both of them are bewildered. Anyway, for his own purposes that we don't know quite just yet, Visa Balaji is giving out visas like mad. If you go to a place like Alpharetta, Georgia, which IT people should be aware of, then you can find there are whole cities there where if you're a white guy walking down the street, everybody stares at you because like, well, what's wrong? Because they're all telling the people, the whole city, it's amazing. Anyway, he has his lila. I think it's got something to do with Krishna consciousness because I know the pujaris in the Chilakuru Balaji temple, they're actually very Krishna conscious. There was a sign on the wall there that said, focus on God, not your number. And they put out a nice magazine full of Krishna Katha as well. Anyway, enough said about that. We're talking about dhriti and utsaha. From determination to tolerate whatever life throws at you. And Shakespeare asked this question. William Shakespeare. He's better known as the Kalidas of Europe. So he said, whether it is better to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous misfortune. I mentioned Saturn already, Shanidev. Anybody who's been under the thumb of Shanidev, you know all about it. Outrageous misfortune, hota hai, when you're in Saturn Mahadasha. So that's tolerance. You have to do that. But if you follow these regulative principles of freedom, we call them, Krishna calls them earlier in Bhagavad Gita, despite all odds, despite good things, despite bad things, then that engenders this, it gives rise to this utsaha, strong enthusiasm. Therefore, Prabhupada says, very great enthusiasm. And enthusiasm that is directed in a particular way, as Baladeva Dabhushan Thakur says, tad anushtano yata cittata. There's a very beautiful verse by Bilva Mangala Thakur who addresses this. He says, only when your mind is fixed on Krishna, can you give stern thought to philosophy. In philosophy, we should have karkashabhi, he says. Very, you know, unsparing critical thought you should give to philosophical matters. And sahitya komalatiya vayameva yavat, you should have very sensitive thought when it comes to things literary, fine arts. Yeah, that requires very sensitive, keen, not critical thought, but very open. Your heart should be open to that. You see? But he says, tantre neveshita dhiyo vayameva yavat, you can give ceaseless thought to your duties. Only when your mind is fixed on Krishna, nirantara. Nirantara
dhiya vayameva tavat.
When our minds are fixed on Krishna, then we can come like this. We can have this tadanushtano ditachittata, consciousness focused and enthusiastic about performing our duties, come what may. So these two are taken as a pair, dhriti utsaha. A person who works with ease, without false ego, and without desiring the results of his activities, Krishna says, that person is a sattvic karta. Now, siddhya siddhyoho nirvikaraha. He doesn't go through changes. He doesn't get bent out of shape if things work out well and if things don't work out well. Either way, he's not moved, not really phased, we use in modern parlance. And Baladidhya Bhushan also, again, he glosses this. Anushangika palasya means sukhena dukhena cha rahita. Whether he gets happiness or whether he gets distressed from something, he is not bewildered by the corollary or the concomitant results of whatever actions he's performing. He's detached, in other words, this is the idea. This is a sattvic karta. Okay, next verse is text 27. Krishna says, Ragi karma phalapre sur lubdho hinsatmako shuchihi harsha shokanvitah karta rajasah parikirtitah. A person is declared to be in the mode of a passionate worker when he has these six characteristics. What is the first one? Ragi, very much attached, Srila Prabhupada translates here. Now let's read Prabhupada's translation. He says, the worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Anybody getting discouraged by this? We should all recognize that we all have some degree, at least, of these characteristics. When people praise us, we become very, very enlivened. We become enthused, isn't it? Or even worse than that, when we're even more murha and people praise us, then what happens? We become giddy and foolish and we do something really... Pride precedes the fall, they say in the Bible. We do something stupid at that point. You see, this is bewilderment. And when people blame us, do we become depressed, or do we become, or do we just feel like throwing in the towel, or do we just slack off, or how do we react to these things? If we react at all, it's wrong. We should not be in reactive mode, we should be in proactive mode. Proactive mode means, I have a duty to perform, that duty should be very clear. When our sattvic intelligence is operating, when our sattvic gyan is operating, as we studied yesterday. And we should simply perform our duty without attachment to these things, as Krishna has already said. So a person who gets attached, ragi, he's called ragi, person who has raga, very much attached, Prabhupada said. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Now, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada paraphrases the commentary of Baladeva Vidyabhushan, as his commentary in general does. He writes, a person is too much attached to a certain kind of work, or to the result, because he has too much attachment for materialism, or hearth, and home, wife, and children. Raise your hand if you have no attachment for materialism, hearth and home, wife, children. Almost all of us have at least some attachment to these things. And it's only natural when we're conditioned souls. But actually, a person should always be moving towards detachment from these things. Because you have to become detached from them eventually anyway. You have no say in the matter. That should be very clear. You are going to give up everything that you hold near and dear, including your values, including perhaps your sanity, including everything, including your very body itself. So detachment is a wise virtue to cultivate, because you cannot keep anything. This one Catholic saint, Teresa of Avila, she wrote, do not fear anything, do not be attached to anything. All things are passing. If you have God, that is enough. Be satisfied. This is the idea. I think I mentioned the other day also that when we're suffering, Winston Churchill, one of my favorite quotes, Winston Churchill would know about suffering, wouldn't he? What did he go through? He brought his country through what? World War II. It looked like the end of his country on many occasions. He almost lost it, in fact. So he would know. He said, his advice is that if you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. You will get through it. But if you're going through heaven, you will also get through with it eventually. So detachment is a wise thing to cultivate. It's just wise, that's all. Not a question of, you know, we're not trying to judge anybody or urge anything unnatural. But the point is that we are going to lose things. Therefore, an intelligent worker is abhala prepsu. We heard this before, no? Didn't we hear this? Abhala prepsu. He's not desiring the fruits of his activity. Here, Krishna says the opposite thing. What is the second quality listed here as the quality of a passionate worker? Karma phala prepsu. He is very intensely desiring the fruits of his work. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he breaks this up, he subdivides it even more in interesting ways. First of all, he begins from abstract to more concrete. Srila Prabhupada says, a person is attached to a certain kind of work. Do you remember what we read last night about being attached to one work as the all-in-all? What motive? Yes, that is a tamasic quality. If you're attached to one thing only and you don't even look at it, like a horse with blinders, you only focus on what you do. Nowadays we live in a very specialized society, so it's easy to get lost in that rut, but it's actually a tamasic characteristic. So that's the first thing we should notice about this sentence. But the second thing is that, aside from being too much attached to a certain kind of work, why are we attached to it in the first place? It's because we actually have an attachment to materialism. The work is fulfilling an instrumental purpose. What is that instrumental purpose? To facilitate our desire for materialism. Why do we have all the kinds of attachments that this world offers? Because we're looking for something non-Vishnu. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesha. We're turning away from God and we're looking for some other option. That's why we name our neighborhoods Flower Park, Central Valley. That's why we chuck all the Shastra and the Anushtans out the window as soon as we get to America. Because we're looking for something other than God. What is that called if you want to push God out of the picture? Envy. It's called envy. And Krishna says this. In elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita. Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. We are all bewildered by dvandva moha. More than once he says this in Bhagavad Gita. Dvandva moha means the bewilderment of duality. And why is that? Because we're impelled by iccha, strong desire. What desire do we have? We want to be the cynosure of all eyes. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to be the controller. That's the position that God naturally deserves. And it's not a position that is ever threatened for him, unlike ourselves. That should give us a hint about our constitutional identity. But, iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. He says, we all have this disease. So, abhala prepsu. We should actually practice this karma phala. Prepsu is a symptom of a passionate worker. And that person is attached to the principle of materialism first and foremost. This is the point. The specific manifestation in your own life of this attachment to materialism, that's going to be variegated. But the principle we all share. We're all envious, therefore we're all chasing after the ideal of materialism. So that's something else that is very much implicit in Srila Prabhupada's, in the first sentence to his purport in text 27. Then he gets more concrete. He says, now what does that actually mean, practically, in tangible terms? Hearth and home. We're all attached to our house. A wife, children, family members. Srimad Bhagavatam puts this very nicely. What is that verse? Fallible soldiers? You know this one? Just now my brain is foggy, but the idea is that we all have an attachment to Atma Sainyeshu Asatsuapi Tesham Pramata Nitanam Pashyam Napina Pashyati. We have attachment to Dara, Sutta, you know, Vitta, Griha, all these things. And even though these are fallible soldiers, why do we call them fallible soldiers? Because they can be shot down at any moment. Just like a soldier who's vulnerable. We can lose them at any moment. I mentioned last night, within 6 month period, I lost two of my siblings, including my twin brother, to cancer. Just a couple of months, my brother was gone, and a few months later, my sister. Same disease. So these are fallible soldiers. If we bank everything on these temporary manifestations of this world, then we're going to go through hell. And Winston Churchill's advice will help us when we do. So therefore it's good to be detached. This is the same point, really. It's another way of saying the same thing. Lupta. What does lupta mean? Anybody know? Lupta.
Greed.
Huh? Greed, yes. Lobha is another way of saying lobha. But Baladevda Bhushan gives a special definition here. He says, karma pekshita. What does he say? Karma pekshita dravya vyayakshanaha. That is to say, he's hesitant to spend money on ritual matters. If we want to be bona fide human beings, not just biologically correct human beings, but actually dharmic human beings. Human being means dharmic, really. You have to spend. You have to spend money for that. Just like Krishna says back in chapter 17, we may not remember. He's talking about sacrificing the mode of ignorance. Does anybody remember what we read about this? Mantrahinam adakshinam. When there's not proper mantras, ashrishtanam, when you do not distribute foodstuffs, and when you do not offer dakshina to the purohit. That is considered to be tamasic yajna. So here he's, according to Baladev Vidyabhushan at least, in his commentary, he says lupta actually means greedy, means that, you know, just like this. What is it? I think in Kathopanishad, was it? Shvetaketu. Was it Shvetaketu? No, Nachiketas. Nachiketas came, he saw his father was offering a sacrifice, and his father was leading away these two sickly cows, dry cows, to the sacrifice. And he was thinking in his mind that something's not right here. He should be sacrificing very nice cows full of milk. He's leading away these sickly cows. And then he started thinking about this, and then he wondered, well, what's he going to do with me if this is what he does with these cows? So he asked his father, to whom will you give me? And his father got irritated because he was exposed. And his father said, I'm going to give you to Yamaraj. But because his father was a great Brahmin, whatever he said has to come true. So Nachiketas had to go and see Yamaraj. When he saw Yamaraj, he was an intelligent boy. He thought, let me get all the mileage out of this that I can. Yamaraj is not every day anybody can get to see Yamaraj, no? And usually it's too late. By the time you see Yamaraj, you can't make any more choices because your body has already been destroyed. But he saw Yamaraj in his self-same body. So he asked Yamaraj, they say that there is a Purusha beyond this birth and death business. Tell me, is this true? And Yamaraj said, listen, son, you have your whole life ahead of you. I can give you gold. I can give you cars. I can give you nice houses, prestige, women, a career, you name it, anything you want. Don't ask about this. You don't want to go there. He was trying to test him. So then this boy, Nachiketas, he came back to Yamaraj and said, you know, I've considered that all these things, they come, but all these things also go. And I've seen, you know, these poor old cows, they were once hale and hearty and giving plenty of milk. Now my father's giving them away to a yajna because they're old and useless. Just like somebody, sometimes here in America, because of the lupta principle we're discussing, people will come, once their car is old and useless, then they donate it to the temple. And they keep the nice new car for themselves. Practically speaking, they kaja. We see. So, this is the mentality that we're talking about here. To finish the story from Katha Upanishad, just in case you're losing sleep about it, Yamaraj finally gave in because Nachiketas was not going to budge. He said, I only want what I've asked for. You have to tell me about this thing. And then the rest of the Upanishad deals with this science. And many, many verses in Bhagavad Gita are actually paraphrasing this Katha Upanishad. Many very famous verses. Just like one, for example, is, Najayate mriyate van kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam prano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Iska matlab kya hai? Who knows? Najayate, he doesn't take birth. Mriyate va, he doesn't die also. Kadachin, at any time. Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya. He doesn't come into being. He has not come into being. He will not come into being because he already is. And forever he is. Always he remains. You see? Kaise. Ajo. Nitya. Shashvato. Ayam purano. This thing is ancient, the self. And he's unborn. And he's eternal. He's undecaying. He's not slain when the body is slain. This is why Krishna told this to Arjuna, because Arjuna is in a situation where he has to slay people that he loves, people that he respects. What would you do? What do you do? We're all doing it, actually. Everybody's life is Chotasa Mahabharata. Hang on. It's true. Everybody has to go through similar tests. That's why these things are there in the Shastra. They say, the mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching whom? The daughter. Because Bahu, you don't want to burn her out. So you blast the daughter instead. She can take it. And then Bahu gets the message. So Krishna is talking to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, or Krishna is talking to all of us in Mahabharata, but we're supposed to get the message. And how are we going to get the message unless the examples are very extreme? Pandavas had to suffer their whole lives. Raise your hand if anyone has ever deliberately set fire to your house. Raise your hand. Ah, I didn't think so. Raise your hand if you had any encounters with cannibals. No. These are the things that Kunti Devi lists. She and her family members had to undergo. Is it not true? And worse things than that, exile, they were thrown into the forest. Shishidatani Namaha Kijay. We would be here all night, actually, if we recounted all the tests that they had to undergo, because they could undergo it. We can't undergo it, but how do we learn unless we see? Adarsha. Okay, so I don't want to get too off course here, but lupta means somebody who's not willing to spend for religious purposes. That's not right. That is a rajasic action. That is a rajasic actor, I mean to say. And what's the other one? Next one is himsatmakaha. What does that mean? Himsatmaka. Pretty clear what it means. He works in such a way as to bring pain to others. Do you hurt other people? We take so much training in life to choose our careers, to buy a house, big important decision, you do all your homework, no? To choose a college, what to go to. To choose what profession to pursue. When we initiate some relationship, say marriage, do we get any training for that? Kuch nahi. You're just thrown in the deep end and you're supposed to figure it all out. Now, if you have anushtan, if you have shishtarachar in front of you in the adarsh of your elders, then it's no problem. Actually, Manusmriti says this. If you're ever in any doubt as to what is dharma and what is adharma, you just do whatever your predecessors understood to be dharma, and you will never go wrong. Predecessors means mahajanas. There are 12 mahajanas. Manu is one of them. Lord Shiva is one of them. Bhishma Dev is one of them. Narad Muni. Adi, adi, adi. So, Hingsatmaka means we're working in such a way as that other people are actually harmed. Girbana. Why do we say Girbana? Means Sanskrit language is also, any language is called Girbana. Kyon. Gi means vak. Bana. Chop. So, when you speak, any word that flies from your mouth is like an arrow. You cannot bring it back. Be careful what you say. Think three times before you speak. This is the austerity of the tongue that we mentioned in chapter 17, text number 15. Anudvegya karam vakyam. In fact, in more than a few places throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, for example, in chapter 12, somebody who doesn't agitate other people and is not agitated by other people, that is a devotee who is dear to him, he says. That's not easy to do. That's really a tall order. But this is how we purify our hearts. And otherwise, we can be himsatmaka, but that's passionate and it results in bondage. Now the next thing is ashuchi. Ashuchi means, what does it mean? You all know. Unclean. What kind of cleanliness? There are two kinds of cleanliness, internal and external. External cleanliness, you take a bath. Internal cleanliness, what do you do for that? Huh? You think of Bhagavan. How do you think of Bhagavan? Easiest way to think of Bhagavan in this Kali Yuga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti shodashakam nam nam Kali kalmasha nashana. Everything contaminated in Kali Yuga is destroyed by this process of Harinam. From being ashuchi, we become shuchi. Now, Vidyabhushan, he glosses the word shuchi in a very interesting way. Karmapekshita vihita shuti shunya. The things that you're expected to do that are pious activities, karmanushtan, as we mentioned a moment ago, to purify yourself, those things that are enjoined in Shastra, when you have no thought of those things, then you're also called ashuchi. A life that is whimsical and without the infrastructure of Shastra conjunctions, that life is ashuchi. That's what he means here, according to Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Finally, the last one for the passionate worker. Harsha, if you have siddhi, you become joyful, delighted. And shoka, if you have a siddhi. This is our natural tendency in this material world. But Krishna says that is a passionate indication. The person who he oscillates like a pendulum between harsha shoka, harsha shoka, harsha shoka. This is unsteady consciousness. This is unsteady consciousness. It's typical of a person who is impelled by the motive passion. Okay. We're two-thirds done. Hopefully we can finish now in 10 minutes. But text number 28, you'll see it has just as many things, maybe more of them actually, than did text number 27. What's next? We've already talked about the sattvic karta. We've also talked about the rajasic karta. So who's left? The tamasic karta. It's very interesting at this point. It's kind of like chapter 16. In chapter 16, Krishna opened the chapter saying, we're going to talk about the divine and the demoniac natures, swabhavas. And in fact, he did. But how much time did he spend explicating the divine nature? About 3 or 4 verses. And how much time did he spend talking about the demoniac nature? The rest of the chapter. Just so that you know what's relevant. If you can take a hint. So, similarly, in text number 28, there's a lot of stuff here. So let's read it. Ayukta prakata stabta shato naishkrita bolasaha
Vishadi Dirka Sutricha Karta Tamasa Uchate.
The person is called a Tamasik Karta when he has these characteristics. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So the first one, Ayukta. Ayukta. We kind of touched on this a couple of nights ago. What does yukta mean? It's a bhute kridanta, past passive participle, from the verb yujdhatu. Yuj means to join something, no? Yunakti. So yukta means join, connected. A person who connects the dots, he's called yukta. And therefore yukta also means somebody who is proper, appropriate, uchita. That is also another meaning of yukta. Bhavadevita Bhushan says here, ayukta means anauchitya krita. He does things that he knows they're anuchita. They're inappropriate things. He knows it's wrong, but he does it anyway. That is the meaning of ayukta. And it is the symptom of a tamasik karta, a worker in the mode of ignorance. He knows it's wrong, but he does it anyway. Just like Duryodhana, famous verse. Anybody know the verse I'm thinking of? From Mahabharata, Duryodhana said, Janami dharmam nachame pravritti. I know what is dharma, but I don't do it. I just blow it off, the tamas. Janami adharmam nachame nivritti. I know what is adharma, but I can't restrain myself. This is our disease. Christians have a very nice way of putting this. They say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is our problem. So we know something is wrong, and we do it anyway. Now, Arjuna asks a very pertinent question about this. Anybody know the verse I'm thinking of? He says, what is it that makes me do something, even though he's asking, why do we do like this? What is it? And how does Krishna answer? Kama esha, krodha esha.
Rajoguna samudbhava.
Rajoguna samudbhava. It's because of you're impelled by passion. Generally, all change is passion. That means anything that's a verb is passion, which means that anything you do is impelled by the mode of passion in this world. Because verbs deal with change. They deal with actions and changes of states. That's the definition of a verb. So when we do things in material consciousness, it's generally impelled by passion. And when we're mindless or careless, regardless about whether it's right or wrong, that is called ayukta, improper, otherwise disconnected. Disconnected is another way to put it. Because he's not joined. Yukta means to join. Okay, prakritaha. This is another very interesting one. Here, let's revisit Srila Prabhupada's synonyms here. Ayukta means not referring to the scriptural injunction. So it means basically what Krishna referred to at the end of chapter 16 in text 23 and 4, for those who know those verses. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, who is lazy, always morose, and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. There's so much to talk about this, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to be quick. Okay, so ayukta means anauchityakrit, even though it's wrong thing, he does it anyway. Prakrita means prakritau svabhave vartamanaha. Svaprakritya anusarena iva. Natu shastra anusarena karma krita. The person who acts not based on what the shastra enjoins him to do, but a person who just acts out of his nature alone. He is engaged only in his svabhava. The senses tell me to do it, so I do it. The mind tells me to do it, my friends tell me to do it, my environment tells me to do it, therefore I act. Without considering shastra, this is the point. We see this as a very salient and it's very often repeated principle. The basic distinction between a deva and an asura, is that the deva follows the shastra conjunction and the asura blows them off. This is really what it comes down to practically. So, prakrita means he's a mundaner. He's not spiritual. Prakrita, wild also. Just like in language, we have two kinds of language, no? Sanskrita language means refined language. It has undergone the process of samskara, samskarana. Similarly, prakrita language is the natural language, and nobody tries to really guide its trajectory. It just grows wild, like a lawn that grows without being cut. So when we live like that, this is called prakrita, and it's considered to be a prakrita karta, or a wild worker, untamed worker, you might say, a worker in the mode of ignorance. Then, stabdha. What does stabdha mean? Baladi vidabhushan. Well, it's first, Srila Prabhupada says, stabdha means obstinate. Baladi vidabhushan says, very similarly, anamara. Anamara. What does anamara mean? Namara? Namara ka matlab kya hai? Submissive. Yeah, submissive, really, is what it means. So, anamara means he's unsubmissive. You give him a good instruction, but he blows it off. He doesn't listen. You give good and best instruction to a person in the mode of ignorance, he will not take it. Zarur, he will not take it. Because he's in the mode of ignorance. They have this saying in English, like throwing pearls before swine. A pig doesn't appreciate pearls. What does a pig appreciate? Stool in the gutter. So, stubborn, intransigent, rigid, overly fanatical, this is all stubta. So that is also tamasic quality. Shakta. What does shakta mean? He cheats. The Prabhupada is here and said, deceitful. He's a deceitful person. Yeah, he's cheating. And then the next one is naishkritika. What does naishkritika mean? That's a little bit difficult Sanskrit term. Baladipada Bhushan tells us, parapamanakrit. He criticizes others. He blasphemes other people. He likes to gossip. This is what we call it in English. Women have to be careful about this. Facebook users also have to be careful about this. There's too much prajalpa in that forum. So this is called naishkritika. Srila Prabhupada blouses it here, expert in insulting others. We figure out very creative ways of putting other people down. The Christians have a nice saying, when you point one finger at someone else, there are three fingers pointing back at you. Your own fingers. So we incriminate ourselves when we gossip about others, when we criticize others, when we say nasty things behind people's backs. It's a tamasic way of acting. We should avoid it. Then, alasa. Alasa means prarambhe karmani shikhila. Means a person who is very lax in following the rules and regulations. He's lazy, in other words. He doesn't get up even though he's able for mongolarity. Sometimes we see people, they live across the street and they just can't seem to come. So that's called alasa. It's a tamasic mode of action. And vishadi is the next thing. Vishada. Vishada me nimagna. Hojana. Vishada we call what in English? Vishad. Depression. Very, very, very common word in modern society. Everybody suffers depression in modern society. That's called vishada. When we indulge in this, that is a tamasic mode of acting. Morose, to become morose or to indulge in moroseness is not very good. Here he says, shokakula, to become disturbed by moroseness or disturbed by misery, that is vishada. Next, dirghasutri. Dirghasutri. Srila Prabhupada says, procrastinating, or Baladipadabhushan says here, divasaika kartavyam varshanenapi yona karoti. Even though something can be done in one day, he doesn't finish it even after a year. This is called dirghasutri, procrastination. That is a tamasic mode of action. Okay, now I'm going to stop here, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has quoted some very nice verses in chapter 25 of the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are too many to quote. There's at least a half a dozen that he quotes. Very nice verses, all about further manifestations of these three modes of material nature, vis-a-vis human, feeling, thinking, acting. Very, very interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is sometimes called the Uddhava Gita, because it shadows the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. As we're discussing now, the same things are kind of expanded version of these verses. You can look at those for further guidance. But I'm going to quote two verses that are very interesting. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, one of them is not from the Bhagavatam. That's why I'm quoting it. He says, Sattvik yadhyatmikam shraddha karma shraddha tu rajasi tamasya dharma ya shraddha mat sevayam tu nirgunam. That means that faith which is fixed in spiritual things, that is of the mode of goodness. And faith that is fixed in hard work, karma, and its bondage also. Children, you need to please be quiet just for a few more minutes. Thank you. That means parents need to keep the children quiet. Satyakya adhyatmiki shraddha. Karma shraddhatu rajasi. When we think that work is everything, sometimes you see this written on walls in India, no? Work is worship. Have you ever seen that? People have this philosophy. That is rajasic faith. That is rajasic faith. A person who is aware. You remember the chief characteristic of sattva-guna is awareness, increased awareness, high awareness. These people know that faith in spiritual things, that is really progressive. Not that you don't work, you have to work, that's also there. But when you only have faith in work, that is not that's rajasic faith. And tamasya dharma ya shraddha. Shraddha, which is in the mode of ignorance, has faith only in tamoguna. It considers, we haven't read this yet, but maybe in the coming days we can read. There are some few more verses. Krishna talks about intelligence, determination, and happiness in these three modes of material nature. And when he's talking about these things, he says that a person who considers dharma to be adharma and considers adharma to be dharma, that person is in the mode of ignorance. We see this sometimes. Okay, so that's tamasic faith. He has faith in dharma. Lekin, mat sevayam tu nirgama. But my service, Krishna says, that is above the modes of material nature. And then there's another nice verse. We were taking a walk in the woods. What is that park called? Beaver Lake? No? So, it's nearby here. And I was appreciating, I remember this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Vanam tu sattviko vaso. The sattvic residence is in the woods. That is sattva-guna in nature, the forest. Gramo rajasa uchyate. Living in the city, that is passionate residence. Tamasam dyutasabanam. When you live in a sinful place, think Las Vegas. Then that is mode of ignorance. Manniketam tu nirgunam. Krishna says, when you live in my abode, Vaikuntha, or Vrindavan, or even in the temple, that is nirguna. So the same thing is there. All right. What else is there? I think we have to stop now. We're kind of at the end here. Does anybody have any questions or any comments on any of these things? We've covered a lot of ground, but very quickly only. And as I said, there's more verses. Maybe we can study them in the coming days. No questions? No comments? Yeah, please.
So, it just seems that characteristics of mode of ignorance are very broad. For instance, someone who is ignorant is also tamasic, and someone who has the knowledge and doesn't follow it also tamasic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's why I said there's a lot of overlap here. A person may be sattvic in this respect, but tamasic in that respect. You see? We're anishtam, ishtam, nishtam cha, Krishna says. Three kinds of things happen in this world with regards to karma. You get things that you want, you get things that you don't want, and you get things that are mixed. Most of the time, it's very mixed. We're all mixed pickles.
So, second part, I've seen that some very highly intelligent people, they are lazy in the sense that but they are not motivated enough, or they know what is right, but still they can't do the right thing. So how do you motivate such people, or how to educate
them? Well, you're talking about different things here. Sometimes we have what we call lazy intelligence, and sometimes we have what we call lazy unintelligence. So you have to use your discrimination to understand what the distinction is and which one of them is really what the situation really is. Yathabat, you have to understand what the real situation is. It's not, sometimes it's a little subtle, it's hard to understand.
Okay. So in this case,
but in general, the way to motivate anyone is to give them knowledge, first of thing, and then to engage them in following the regulative principles by which this enthusiasm is generated, as we have already read. Srila Prabhupada said that the way to keep devotees, especially enthused, is that they strictly follow the regulative principles. It means all the temple functions, sadhana bhakti, all the 64 angas, they very strictly follow. Then automatically you will be enthusiastic. Is that okay? Does that fully answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Yes.
You spoke about spirit bonds, but flesh limits.
Yes.
How do we come out of that trap?
Well, that is the science of Krishna consciousness. It's a very authoritative and very comprehensive science. But the easiest way that to start this process is to associate with sadhus. When we associate with people who are like us, similar to us enough that we can relate to them, but whose faith is deeper than ours such that they will elevate us, that is the right association. That is what it means when we say satsanga or sadhusanga. We have to seek the association of such persons, because in that association, everything else about bhakti yoga that we need to connect with, as we said earlier, that is automatically affected through good association. Therefore, he sings, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi, sarva siddhi hoi. From sadhu sangha, every perfection you can get. That is the easiest formula, I think. Other than that, we chant Hare Krishna, we remember Krishna, we serve Krishna in our capacity as we can. But really what makes things start to move in our spiritual life is when we associate closely with more advanced devotees. Is that okay? All right. I think it's time to stop now. It's already past 9, so thank you very much for coming. All glories to Sri Prabhupada.
So His Grace Mukundatta Prabhu will be here on Monday. So Monday evening, it is Haridas Thakur's disappearance day. So there will be a class here after the Aarti, 7:30 p.m. So please be here. Thank you.